Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
222.
222.
This is our 222nd year at Hogwarts.
How's it going, Scott?
Oh, caught me mid-sip. I'm doing quite well. And yourself, Andrew?
I am doing okay.
Wonderful.
I am tired.
Me too.
Last week was Aaron's first week at a new job.
Mm-hmm.
We had to shift schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically N minus three.
Yes.
That is a tough, tough fucking schedule.
Yeah.
Change. Three hours earlier. Oh my God. It sucks. Hold on. I'm going to adjust this real quick because I'm not really getting a ton of... There we go. Well, maybe. We'll see. Higher? All right.
Yeah, you're like...
Higher.
There you go.
All right. Let's try that.
In the middle of the mic. There,
there we go. Look at that. That's better. So, and then obviously 3-day weekend. So I've blown that up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fucked tomorrow, man. I get, you know, I immediately on the weekend, I'm awake until like midnight, one.
Mm-hmm.
Can't help it. But tomorrow it's back to getting up before five.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh, Berto.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how have you been, Scott?
I too am tired. It's been a weird,
this is like belabored day.
Yeah. It's,
hey, I think we found our title.
Yeah. I think we did too. It's just been a really weird weekend of things popping up sort of last minute-y.
Yeah.
And completely rearranging schedules compared to what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So like a number of things have happened this weekend.
Yeah.
But nothing that I wanted to have happen this weekend happened because I had to shift
mm-hmm.
priorities around. So like Thursday we did the building the wall.
Right, right.
Oh, sorry. That wasn't Thursday. That was Friday.
Oh. Is there
Friday?
A difference?
Yes. So here's the great thing. So we did the second iteration of building the wall
mm-hmm.
At University of Puget Sound
mm-hmm.
on a Friday night at the end of the first week that the students were there. So you... can guess, yeah, five students showed up.
Right, right.
Faculty, some other folks, considerably less people than we had at TLT.
Fewer.
I'm tired.
I know. And I'm pedantic.
And so a beautiful, beautiful auditorium. They used to have a balcony and the floor, and now it just goes floor to balcony. And so it's this
like a
medical theater or psych 101 type theater. It
right.
goes up two stories. It doesn't go back that far.
Right.
So it's really an interesting space to play to. But we were asked to go to Evergreen College in the spring.
Hmm.
So we're leapfrogging on that.
I'm pretty sure by performing at Evergreen, you can get like 20 credits at Evergreen.
Right. So there'll be a number of students.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have done like a Tuesday or a Thursday a couple weeks into the, you know, class
agreed.
Season.
Yeah, agreed.
And we would have had some people. But so I did that. And then I was asked to shoot a little pet project for a friend, which I did do. But in between that was Sydney Shelton's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to go to that. So we slid my call time for the other to later, and then I went earlier to the party, and you know, that got all jacked around, and then that meant that I left the party at 6 p.m., 6:15 to get to Seattle by 7 o'clock at night to shoot my two scenes.
Right.
I got offset at 2 a.m.
Okay. Wow.
Partly because they wanted one of the, I was playing a scientist, I'll leave it at that, until it comes out, then it'll be really awesome. But I was playing a scientist, so they wanted one of us to hang around in case they needed some background for these other shots that were happening. And I said, sure, that I would. And then Ty Magnota was the DP and gaffer and sound guy.
Oof, ouch. Okay.
And so when we were wrapped, I was like, okay, everyone else is bailing. I'm
going to help
stay here and help everybody wrap out.
Like
so,
you do.
You know, and that brought us to two. And then yesterday, I thought I had all of Sunday open just to late. I mean, I got home at 2 a.m. I woke up at noon on Sunday. And then I, I thought, you know, okay, we've got, I've got the day. There's nothing scheduled today. and then it, I was informed that there was a barbecue in Tacoma that we were going to go to.
Yeah.
And by the time coherency happened and trying to get to the gym and yeah. So all day yesterday was nothing biding time until driving down to a barbecue in Tacoma.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, it's just been one of those weird, I thought I knew what my weekend was going to be. It's nothing like it was
Sounds
planned
about
to be.
Right. Yeah.
And nothing's gotten done. So, cool. Yeah, I'm just a little loopy and I'm still tired. I don't know why.
Yeah, so basically for me, the week has been, one, I found this amazing site that if you're at all into developing or learning to code, I highly recommend.
Okay.
It's called codinggame.com, except for there's only one G.
So coding aim?
Codinggame.
Codinggame.
Coding ame.
Coding ame.
Mi amor. So basically what it is, you level up and you rank up by doing these little tiny code snippets. A good example of an intermediate one was Batman. So I'm already sold, right? Batman has to get to a bomb in a building and defuse it before it goes off. And he has a limited number of moves. So it's pathfinding, right? And a building is a two-dimensional array. So it's X by Y. And X by Y can be random, right? So basically, you have to come up with an algorithm that he shoots his bat hook to advance, but he can only shoot it left or right or up or down. And he has a little sensor that tells him if the bomb is left or right, left, right, up. You know, it basically gives him the coordinates of the, or not the coordinates, the cardinal directions of the bomb. So north by northwest, west, you know, except for up, down, left, right. So if you are, say, in the lower left corner of the building, it'll probably say the bomb is upright. So what you have to do is come up with a pathfinding algorithm for that. I did the most basic one that I could think of, which is divide and conquer. So if it's upright, you go halfway on both of those coordinates and then find out where it is and do it that way. But banged my head against it for a while because I fucking transposed a greater than less than. That was the whole problem the whole time, and I never noticed it. But yeah, basically you get a little animation of what your code actually does. You can write in Java, you can write in C#, C++, whatever you want. I think they even have things like Lisp and Pascal and shit like that. So really cool site. Highly recommend it if you're into learning to code. you level up as you do stuff. You get points. There's like a Discord built into the site.
Hmm.
So you can, I never chat with people because they're all fucking idiots because it's a public Discord in a site. And as we all know, anybody who starts a public Discord is an idiot. How's our Discord going, Scott? How's our Discord going, idiot?
Going great.
We're idiots. No, it's our Discord rocks.
Oh, well, I get to see how they embed it in the website then.
I think Discord actually on their site has a really in-depth developer thing for how you embed. Hmm. But yeah, definitely. It'd be great. So I did that. I started watching Castle Rock, and I made a post about it because fucking Scott Brown wrote an episode, but not our Scott Brown. Some other fucking Scott Brown wrote an episode of a show that we came up with the idea for. I will say, so our idea was not a serial. Our idea what is that called? Is it?
Concept?
Not a procedural. What is, procedurals are serials. They're the ones that have an ongoing storyline through the entire season. Ours was more of a storyteller series, more of a, you know, the concept being, again, kind of like the Are You Afraid of the Dark / Monster of the Week thing. Because I miss those shows.
Kind of like X-Files.
Yeah, I miss those shows. Yeah. I really miss those shows that were not tied to an ongoing storyline. I mean, to some extent, even things like Star Trek was not tied to an ongoing storyline. They'd have ongoing pieces, but every episode was kind of an individual thing. And I think more and more as TV is maturing, it's moving away from that. It's moving more toward these long, sustained, True Detective style storylines. And that's great. I think that's fantastic. I do miss the ones where it doesn't matter if you miss an episode or don't miss an episode, pick one up, have a watch. It's great. And I think Castle Rock was a really good setting for that. But what they're doing is fantastic. I don't know if you've seen any of it.
We haven't started watching it yet, trying to get through some others.
Okay. Well, without getting too spoilery, the reference game is huge. Right out of the gate, one of the weird characters is played by, the Skarsgård that played Pennywise. So he's now been a creepy character in two Stephen King properties. I forget which Skarsgård that is, but it's a Skarsgård. So you know that like in their contract, they have to fucking appear mostly naked. So he does. That all Skarsgårds, even Stellan. Go look at Thor Darker World. Actually don't. That movie sucked. But he's in it running around in his underwear, right? He's in fucking Nymphomaniac jerking off over a person. Like, the Skarsgårds love being naked. They just love being naked. Which is great. Good for them. So it's a heavily Shawshank inspired series. Shawshank is a character in the show. It is the first big character in the show, I would say. Shawshank Prison is the first big character in the show. Lots of great actors, great performances, great sound, because it was designed by, you ready for this? The guy who designed it for Shawshank
Redemption. Oh, there you go.
Very, very first thing I noticed is one of the characters is driving around in a car and he is listening to a piece of music that I immediately recognized as the piece of music that Andy Dufresne plays when he takes over the warden's office in Shawshank. And I checked, and sure enough, it is. Lots of references like that, though. There's some throwaway ones, like names. One of the kids is named Jordy at a certain point. And if you have seen The Body / what was it called? Stand By Me. Stand By Me was the actual. You know, Jordy is the Will Wheaton kid. So basically it's just reference after reference after reference, and it's fun to pick up, you know, it's fun to like find and spot the little Stephen King references, but it's also just a good show. It's, it's very, I don't want to say American Horror Story because it's better than that, but it has this, you know, the whole point is that they're trying to tell you something bigger is going on like the whole time. And it's
like Stranger Things.
Yeah, but it's very obvious that it's happening. You know what I mean? It's like super obvious that it's happening. And that's fine, I think. I think they did a great job with it overall, though. The main
13 episode.
Well, it's actually, so it's a Hulu original, but it's releasing weekly.
Right. So, I mean, but it's 13, not a 22.
I would assume, because they're hour long, that it's 13.
Okay.
I would assume that, but I'm not going to, because it's not done yet. Like, I think episode 8 just released. Mm. So, yeah. Not bingeable, unfortunately.
Right. Well, not yet.
Not yet, but soon. And for the rest of your life. No, but overall, very solid.
Mm-hmm.
Very much worth a watch. Very interesting. It has a lot of actors who I just fucking love. In fact, one of Megan Griffith's go-tos, whose name just slipped out of my head. She's the lead in Sadie, the new movie Sadie that Megan Griffith did. Do you remember that movie Ever After with Drew Barrymore as Cinderella?
Nope.
Oh. Well, there's no helping you then. Okay. No. Anyway, it was the good stepsister in that movie. She's awesome, but she's great in this too. I cannot fucking remember a name for the life of me right now, except
was
for Skarsgård.
Was she in Sister?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know what Sister is.
The
TV show?
Oh, that was Lynn Shelton. That wasn't Megan.
Yeah. I mean, maybe though. They share a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, like Steve Snowy, fucking asshole. I love you, Steve. I told you the story about Steve Snowy, right? So Steve Snowy is tangentially sort of connected to the Lynn Megan production group through his wife. But Steve and I met well before either of us were in film.
Mm-hmm.
He and a friend of mine from high school lived together on Capitol Hill, and he's the first person who like sort of walked me through World of Warcraft back before I played.
Mm-hmm.
So it was weird. Just weird that it ends up happening like that. Anyway. So I would recommend it. Absolutely recommend starting it now. It's a lot of fun. The episodes are long enough to where it's okay to micro binge every week or so to get caught up, I think. But yeah, a lot of fun. Aaron started playing a little game that no one's heard of, I don't think. It's called, what is it? Skyrim. Skyrim. So she started playing that this week. Consoles support mods, which I did not know about. So she modded the hell out of it too, which was great. Because it looks a hell of a lot better when you mod it.
Mm.
I mean, it's a, what, 7.5, 8-year-old game now? So...
Yeah.
The current console generation is even ahead of where it was when it released. So basically, I've never played it either. I'm a bad gamer in that sense, but it is very interesting now. Like watching her play through it, I'm definitely interested, and I think I would like playing through it as well.
Mm.
Very, it's kind of the first of that open world style, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's really truly just like good luck and you just don't know what's going on. So we will have another game to talk about next week though, potentially, because one is coming in the mail thanks to listener and awesome human James Peters.
Oh
yeah, Divinity Original Sin is showing up. Two Divinity Original Sin 2. So Divinity Another Original Sin, I guess, because you can't have an original twice, right?
Right.
I don't know how that works. Anyway, it'll be showing up, and it's a Western-style RPG, so it's definitely up your alley because, you know, Torchlight Diablo-ish, more than, say, something like Skyrim.
Right.
But definitely not like a Persona type of game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be a lot of fun, and it's got couch co-op. And I'm getting a new couch, so hey.
Hey, there you go.
So we should stream the hell out of that if we can. Because we haven't streamed anything yet and we really need to.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that.
Well, later. It'll be at my place cause I can set it all up very quickly. Okay. Probably. But yeah, it's not that hard to do. Once we get it locked in. So looking forward to that. We've got, so PAX happened this weekend and neither of us went, which is great. I am seeing a bunch of people online who are like, I'm sick, I got the PAX plague. And I'm feeling pretty good about not showing up to PAX at this point. There wasn't really much I wanted to see there. Aaron did some work for Epic Games that was supposed to show up there, and I guess something happened to it, so they had to have someone else do it again really shoddily, which sucks. But yeah, that's kind of my week. I didn't really do a ton. I've just been working and catching up on a little bit of TV that haven't seen in forever, and that's about it. How's about you? Well, I guess you already went through yours, so I guess we can get to the questions.
Yeah,
I have more opinions about the Surface Go, but they're all just going to be kind of like amplifying what I said last time, which is unless you need Windows, it is not the tablet for you.
Yeah.
So don't, unless you absolutely positively need Windows in that form factor.
Yeah. I've been playing Dungeons and Heroes and...
Dungeons and Heroes? Dungeness Heroes? Delicious.
Yes. I wish.
I want crab.
Dungeons and Heroes and Hyper Heroes on my phone.
Oh, cool.
Dungeons and Heroes is kind of... The thing I like is the combat thing. You just hit auto and let it do its thing. But you've still got to build your characters up and do all the stuff. So you go across the land and battle and try to do stuff in Dungeons and Heroes. And then Hyper Heroes is just basically you just build up characters and then go after this baddie with his minions.
Right.
And they're just time wasters. But the graphics are pretty cool, and trying to figure out what these different characters do and stuff is nice. I may have some tech stuff to talk about as I reach down here, too, because when Mr. Brophy departed from Amazon, he bought me the Fire TV Q, which was at the time the newest Fire TV. So it has Alexa built in. Supposedly, I just got a sound bar for the TV in the bedroom, and supposedly this will control now the sound bar and the TV and boxes and everything. Plus, it's got 4K built in to this, and Bluetooth. So I'm really kind of excited to see how different this is from the Fire Stick, which I have really been impressed with.
Yeah.
The Fire TV Stick is pretty fucking phenomenal. It's picked up Wi-Fi super well. I don't have any glitching errors or anything. It's really motivated me to want to get Prime and not just get the free shipping from Andy's family of Prime members, but have my own Prime.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a weighty little
holy shit
little
yeah,
box.
It is.
But it's all voice controlled too, so it'll be like, you know,
let's go through the specifications or the features here. We have Alexa. We have far field voice control, which means hearing you from across the room by doing noise cancellation. 4K Ultra HD, HDR, that's awesome. IR Blaster, which that's pretty cool. Dolby Audio, it's got a quad core chip, probably a Qualcomm, I'm guessing. Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, sweet. That HDR thing is real nice. So I wonder if it does Dolby Digital, or Dolby Vision, rather. It didn't say it, but...
I don't think so, but I think it's got Atmos.
Oh, okay.
With the Dolby Audio, I thought I read that somewhere, but it doesn't have the logo, so I probably not.
Yeah, but all that stuff's updatable. Atmos especially, because that's very much software.
Yeah. Oh, and I got Pandora for free thanks to T-Mobile.
Yeah, I saw that. T-Mobile members for one day, because they have T-Mobile Tuesdays. Yep.
I now have that app.
A free year of Pandora.
Yeah.
Pro.
Yeah.
Or whatever. They're non-invasive non-commercial version is.
Yeah, all the forwarding, I can go back and replay, don't have commercials. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. There are still occasional songs that you're not allowed to do certain stuff with because it's fucking weird because recording companies are weird.
Yeah.
But it's way better. It's way better. It's more like using a, you know, Google Play Music or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, Melanie Lynskey is the actress I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The casting is a Stephen King reference.
Mm.
Can you think of, like, what is an old Stephen King movie that you can
Cujo,
think
of? Children of the Corn.
Okay, referenced. I haven't seen Children of the Corn yet, but I've seen Cujo referenced.
Mm.
Sissy Spacek is in this.
Nice.
Yeah. Carrie reference, right? Like, boom, right out of the gate.
Cool.
Very, very cool what they've done to basically make. Anyway, sorry about the Castle Rock thing. It's just, it's the book I'm reading. You know how people get like that? Like, oh, here's the book I'm reading and here's everything about it. Well, here's the TV show I'm watching and here's everything about it.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to see what the Fire Cube, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Fire
TV Cube.
Fire TV Cube. I'm sorry. I'm excited to see what it does.
Yeah.
Because that does sound really great.
Yeah. And there's a lot of tutorials. There's a lot of talk about Cody being dead pretty soon because everybody's coming after everybody that's hosting everything and making the APKs. And
so Cody won't be dead, but anything that makes it useful beyond any other media player will be dead.
Yeah. But yeah, there's some things I'm excited to see if I can work out. Terrarium TV is something I've been hearing about, so maybe I can get like broadcast TV.
Maybe.
At decent quality. Now that football's coming in season.
Fuba.
Gotta have something that'll play my football.
Fuba.
Football well. Okay, yeah. So, question of the week.
Yeah, so last week we asked our listeners, what is a favorite non-keto recipe you want to see if we can ketoize?
I don't know.
Keto gonna cook it anyway. James Peters started off with ramen! ! Done! Already did it. Fantastic.
Which basically would just be magic noodles and stuff.
Miracle noodle plus...
Miracle noodle.
Yeah. Miracle noodle plus everything else you normally put in ramen. It's already... Ramen, aside from the noodles, is already very low carb. You're putting in broth. You're putting in pork, eggs, you know, maybe some onion, but...
Isn't that just pho? I mean, to me, ramen is top ramen. It's so noodles and powder packet and water.
So it's more, it's a fancier pho with less, they're very different. Ramen is about the experience of the noodles and the broth and all that stuff. Pho is about the experience of cooking the meat that you get in the boiled soup, and the rice noodles are slightly different in each. In fact, I don't think ramen's not normally rice noodles. It's a wheat noodle. But basically, they're different. Pho is also usually a little more aromatic in general. Mm-hmm. You don't put anise in ramen. You don't put it works in pho, but only like, you know, you don't put a cilantro in ramen, which I'm fine with not putting cilantro in anything, to be honest. You don't put any of the aromatics that you put mm-hmm. into pho into ramen. They're a little different in that regard. And also, pho is usually a bone broth, whereas ramen is more of a salty... it's a salty stock broth with a stock. Yeah, yeah. It's got a different kind of base. It's more of a bouillon-y sort of base, usually. Saltier in general. So they're different, but they're similar enough to the conversation to basically say it's super easy. You do everything the same, but you swap in miracle noodle.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Hmm.
So I've done it. It's fantastic. I've done it with the soft boiled egg and everything at home. It's awesome.
I may try that. Probably not. I don't like pho. Doesn't sound like I would like ramen, but I might.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, in fact, if you are in the Seattle area, at least, a place called Samurai Noodle, which I believe is a national, I don't know if it's a national chain, but I think it's a chain outside of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's in more places than that. Samurai Noodle has, you can get konnyaku, which is the miracle noodle, at Samurai Noodle on any dish. So you can literally go do keto ramen right now.
Oh, okay.
At a restaurant, so.
Cool.
Yep.
Rob McLennan writes in, would a keto-friendly lasagna be possible? Yes.
In fact.
The most common, right out of the bat, lasagnas would be recipes employing eggplant or zucchini as your noodle.
Right.
Sort of the problem with keto-friendly lasagna is the tomato, the onion, all of those. I mean, one onion, one cup of onion is like 12 grams of carb. That's half a daily allowance. Tomatoes are 5. So you start running into, yes, it's possible if you're on an expanded carb. You know, like what you try to keep it under 80 grams of carb, right?
Per my doctor, it's 80, but right. I try to keep it less than that as well. Right. Yeah.
But if you're doing keto where you're not worried about, you know, if you've got 80, you can do this for dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've got 20 like me, maybe in a year I can do this for dinner when I'm not that micromanaging carbs. That being said, I did do some research and I would like to try some things because there is almond flour, coconut flour are the two big flour replacements that I've found.
Yes.
I made something last night for the first time with coconut flour. I made it slightly wrong in that I was supposed to slowly add in the coconut flour, and I mistakenly dumped in the quarter cup right away, which I don't think really made all that big a difference, but it could have. I made cheese. It's the brownie cream cheese, marbly brownie So I tried making that, and it turned out. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Tastes great.
Nice.
Mouth texture is a little weird with the brownie. It's not as brownie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in my defense, I did not have any electric mixers.
Yeah, that sucks.
So I was, with a whisk, beating cream cheese.
Oh, shit.
Which I realized, oh, okay, I beat the cream cheese with the spoon, then add the egg and vanilla, and then I can whip it. So then that turned out okay, and then the base brownie mix was where you added the coconut, and I knew that, but I just had that brain fart where I had the quarter cup, and I didn't even think. I'm like, okay, I need to get my tablespoon. What the fuck did I just do? I just dumped the entire thing in the bowl. So, that may have been a difference. And the fact that the eggs wouldn't whip up really fluffy like they were supposed to. Mm. And so who knows? We'll try that recipe again. But, there is coconut flour and almond flour like, pastas that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot about making the dough and either slightly baking it or leaving it out to dry. A lot of these keto-friendly things where you're trying to do replacements like this is just a time thing.
Yes.
Especially with eggplant or zucchini.
Yes, because you cannot put them in straight out of them.
No, yeah. They're very wet. So you need to take those things and what you do to get all the water out is you salt them. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm making zucchini spaghetti with the spiralizer and stuff, you still want one option, which did not work for crap, was putting them on a baking sheet, salting them, and then bake them. And that worked for absolute shit because A, I have a gas oven, so it's not really even heat. And so all the edges turned super brown, if not became...
crunchy.
Yeah, but not only that, they became one with the surface of the cookie sheet.
Yikes.
But the other is you just salt the crap out of it and put it in a colander or a sieve or anything over the sink and just let it drain for half an hour. So these things take time. You got to mandolin all of your stuff so that you got nice long sheets, and then you got to salt the shit out of it and leave it there on paper towels for a while. Maybe do a second salting to make sure you get everything nice and dry so that when you put that previously wet piece of vegetable back onto a very wet substrate, it ends up being the same moistness that it was when it started. And
right.
So they're just more time consuming than, oh, hey, I'm going to get some lasagna noodles and throw in some ragu and some cheese. But yeah, it is definitely something that's going to be pursued at some point.
Cool. Dougie Sharp writes, peanut butter cookies, which I think you've come close to already. Same kind of concept.
Yes. Yeah. So there are a lot, just like, in fact, one of the places that I always go to for like the ice cream recipes, they screwed up and they had one that they were talking about, which was one flavor. And it's now proven my point. They just copy and paste the blog threads and throw a new flavor on the ice cream. So, you know, last month it was a coffee ice cream. This month it's a peppermint ice cream. And you're going down and you're reading the thing and peppermint, coffee. It's like, okay, I see how you roll now.
Yeah.
I see this. So all I need to do is have the base and then figure out, okay, this is the one thing you're changing. But there's a number of cookie recipes. So, and the great thing about peanut butter is the flavor, if you put it in the right, sorry to use this word again, I know it's a geological word, but if you put it in the right substrate, that flavor goes a long way.
Yes.
And so your 2 tablespoons that you're allowed for the carb value.
Right.
Goes a long way, and you don't need half a cup of peanut butter to make those cookies very peanut buttery.
Right, exactly.
So now that you mention it, Dougie, I may have to figure out a way. Now I'm jonesing some peanut butter. So thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
That does sound good, though. Sounds real good. So our question this week to you, that wraps up the answers, by the way. Our question this week to you, it being Labor Day today, what holiday do we need but we don't yet have? Scott, do you have a holiday that you think we need but we don't yet have?
I do, but I'm gonna wait.
Oh, you want to wait? Should we answer these next week? I'm fine with that. Well, yeah, let's do that. Let's do it again because we did that before.
Yeah,
and I kind of like the way that worked out, where we answer our own question along with the answers. So, to those of you out there, just write in, hit the Discord, discord.twobards.com, where we're starting to get some new members, by the way.
So yes.
That's awesome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Kevin and Todd McKimmy, I think, were this week's new members.
And Dougie's.
Dougie's fairly new.
Fairly new.
So, discord.twobards.com, let us know any holiday you think we should have.
That we don't already.
Well, and I mean, we might and not know about it. Just, and you know,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
national holidays. What do you want? What do you want to be recognized and to get a day off of work for? Not International Secretary's Day or whatever.
Right.
Like, sure, if you want that to be a holiday that we get off of work, bring that one up. But yeah, let's just,
yeah, it's not National Pumpkin Spice Latte Day.
Nope. Maybe that's what you want, though. Let us know.
Right, but a lot of those already exist that we don't.
That's what I'm saying,
about.
Though. So even if it exists, but you want it to be a day off, let us know.
Oh, okay. You want it to be the super holiday.
Yeah, well, like, because I know a couple that I would like to take off. All of them. But beside the point, you know. Right?
Yes.
Because every day is a holiday. Somewhere. Like
somewhere.
Every day. They've made up a holiday for pretty much every day of the year.
Yep.
At some level. So Oh, it's National Appreciate Cow Shoeing Day. I don't. They, you don't shoe cows, but
yay,
why not?
Cow shoers.
Yeah. There's one of us. Oh, okay. So, let's get to some questions and answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. James Peters writes, what would your debut porn films be titled? Oof. Would those titles differ depending on whether you were acting or directing?
I would not be acting in them. I would only be directing them. And I think I would, I'm sure that this already exists, but I would have to do something Wicked This Way Comes.
Oh, nice. And gross. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that exists. You're right. Probably by Wicked.
Probably, yeah.
Wicked Entertainment, I believe is a, I believe that's one, right?
Yes. There's I Wicked. Mean, I've heard.
No, there's Wicked, Vivid, there's Penthouse Video who made Caligula, which is fucking weird.
Well.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
That's a Caligula.
That's all that they've.
They got lied to, or people got lied to, especially the actors. A bunch of weird stuff happened with Caligula. Very strange story.
Yes.
So, porn films. I've only thought about my, like, porn name. Because there's Huge Organ, of course. Like, that's an important one. But I'm not Swedish enough for that one. But I'm not German either. Huge Organ. And then there's, you know, Richard Oppenseiter. So, good old Dick Oppenseiter would be another great porn name.
What's the... Oh, okay.
Yeah, Oppenseiter.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you got it.
Took me a moment.
Yeah. There was a... Remember that... I think it was just an audio skit, but it went around a lot when the internet first started. It was Dickens Cider. My wife loves Dickens Cider. You know, like that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just remains...
Maybe my porn name would be Sweaty Balls.
Sweaty Balls?
Yeah.
Nice. I think Alec Baldwin would sue you.
Probably. That's fine.
Yeah, done.
Yeah.
But what would my porn movie be? Jeez, I didn't really look these up. I would probably have to do some video game themed
mm-hmm.
movie. They've already done Super Hornio Brothers. And they got sued to shit immediately. So
wow.
Nintendo of America
mm-hmm.
literally owns the rights to two porn films because they sued to get the rights.
Wow.
Yeah. They will never ever release them, but they're
right.
out there. They're totally out there, which is hilarious. So
there are so many superhero parodies.
Well, everything's a parody. They've got
I know,
Supernatural,
so I don't know.
They've
I,
got
I don't know how Nintendo can sue to get the rights to something that's a parody.
Well, because it happened in the 80s or 90s, somewhere
oh.
there. So it happened, it was one of the first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if they necessarily sued or just bought the rights.
Oh,
that
okay.
might actually, no, they would have to have just bought the rights.
Mm.
Because if you sue to get it taken down, the rights don't exist.
Right.
So because
okay.
they own the rights, they had to have bought them.
Oh,
so
okay.
that's probably what it was.
Hmm.
Brilliant, by the
yeah.
way. That's smart.
We should make a purchasable porno.
No joke.
That never sees the light of day, which is great.
Great.
And we just make money.
Yeah. The Fantastic Foursome, then. If we're doing, we're going to do the Fantastic Foursome.
Followed up by the Fantastic Foreskin.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about collaring criminals.
Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, you could do... Oh my God! You could totally
horrible.
Do. You could totally do a Batman one because what is the one thread that happens with all Batman origin scenes?
Pearl necklaces.
Yes. Every single time, Martha's pearl necklace is involved.
Yes.
So, yeah, you could have Joe Chill shoot her.
Yeah.
And then her pearl necklace falls to the
falls
ground.
To the ground.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Dennis Nichols.
You ever DP'd the devil in the pale moonlight? And yeah, it doesn't matter acting or directing. It's going to be both.
So Dennis Nichols asks, so what do you think about that Star Trek lawsuit?
Oh, dear God.
What Star Trek lawsuit?
All right. So CBS All Access
right.
decided to make Discovery sort of their tentpole show to get yep. people to buy their shitty fly-by-night streaming service. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. Put it on Hulu or put it on Netflix. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, they didn't do that. They Star Trek or made CBS their All Access. Thing. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be the thing. Well, turns out Discovery ripped off an indie game from Steam Greenlight. And I don't mean they had similar plots and it could be conceivable that they came up with... No, they fucking ripped off an indie game from Steam Greenlight that they just thought wouldn't be big enough to ever come after them. So there's a game. So if you've seen Discovery, it's garbage.
Yeah, part of it, yeah.
So their hyperdrive is no longer dilithium crystals. And what they're using now is it's a spore drive.
Mm-hmm.
With a giant tardigrade in the middle of it. So this is an exact rip of this game called Tardigrades that was on Steam Greenlight that has a giant blue tardigrade warp drive.
Oh my God.
With white flecks that float around it and everything. It's fucking like note for note.
Yeah.
Additionally, the two engineering lead characters in the game are a white and black gay couple. The white guy is the main engineer who's also a biologist, an exobotanist or something like that. Whatever the fucking, whatever Anthony Rapp is in Discovery, same fucking job title. The characters are all over the place in terms of being the same. Like they're very similar in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
It is blatant. It is blatant. They tried to blame Brian Fuller, I think. Is that the guy that originally... I think it was Brian Fuller that originally did Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to blame him and Kurtzman for doing all this. Luckily, it seems like they have the paperwork to back up that this isn't what we handed them. There was a spore drive, but it had nothing to do with tardigrades. It had nothing to do with any of this. It had nothing to do really with any of the faster than light travel.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a plot device in the show. What the fuck are you doing? You know? So someone obviously went and saw this little indie game and was like, oh, they'll never know. Whoop, rip, rip, rip. Ripped it all off.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're getting sued for that. And I fucking hope they lose. I hope they lose hard because that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll reach an agreement outside. Oh, so the CBS folks reached out to the guy who made the game, and their offer was, are you ready for this? We won't sue you when you release the game. That was their offer. Their offer was, we will not pursue a lawsuit against you when your game releases. Fuck you, CBS.
Yeah.
God damn, that was pathetic.
So, wow.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the lawsuit that you just heard of just now?
Yeah, I hope they go down in flames.
Yeah, me too. I think I fucking hate that CBS service in general. I don't like it. I don't like where they're taking Star Trek at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like this idea that they want to kill off the Prime timeline entirely. But they also kind of want to kill off the Kelvin timeline. They want Discovery to be the new timeline,
mm-hmm.
which means no dilithium crystals, no, you know, warp doesn't work the way it's worked before. All of the original characters don't exist really anymore. Basically, goodbye to all of that.
Right.
They never want to revisit the original core Prime timeline again. They never really want to visit the true Kelvin timeline again, which I'm fine with that. But I don't know. It's everybody who gets to run Star Trek feels like they have to reinvent all of it because...
Yeah, and you don't have to.
You don't have to. Gene Roddenberry put a bunch of shit in and he worked with a bunch of other people and they fucking made a universe. Just tell stories in it. And if you can't tell stories in that universe, you're broken, not the universe.
Right.
Fucking use those restrictions to tell a better story.
Or...
Come on.
Go... Do your own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't make it Star Trek.
You don't have to go and reclaim everything. You don't have to reclaim Klingons. You don't have to reclaim how warp drive works. You don't have to fucking do what they did in Beyond and, or what was the one before that? Into Darkness, and like completely reclaim how warp works or how teleporting works or any of that shit. You don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Tell a story in the goddamn construct of the universe that's already been created, or call it something else. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Dougie Sharp writes, if you could do a story from an IP that has gone into public domain, example, Wizard of Oz, what IP would you choose? For me, it has always been Dracula. Always. Mm. Because I want to do Andacula. I want to do an Andat version of Dracula, black and white, with, you know, and all the guys would play multiple characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch the original English version, I haven't watched the Spanish version of Dracula, the original Bela Lugosi Dracula, but the English version of Dracula, first of all, is very short, so it's worth watching. I think it's like 50 minutes or something. It's really short. But they're riding a carriage to the castle, Von Dracula, mm-hmm. right? And there's a dude in the back of the carriage who looks just like Gabe Congdon to me. And I immediately was like, we need to do Andacula. Like, we need to do this. It would be great with Keeter as Dracula,
mm-hmm.
Bumin as Helsing,
mm-hmm.
right? It would be fantastic. And then Gabe would be like Renfield and this guy, and, you know, and they'd all have multiple parts. It would be so much fun.
Yeah.
So that would be my, if I could do a public domain IP, it would be that.
Mm. I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know what wouldn't be.
So for the,
I don't know what stories are in IP at this point.
For the most part, anything older than 99 years
mm-hmm.
is in public domain. So Winnie the Pooh is technically in public domain now. You've got things like Alice in Wonderland, obviously. Anything from Lovecraft.
Jules Verne.
Yes, absolutely.
I would do something of his, probably.
Nice.
Or, no, Philip K. Dick's not 99.
No.
No. I'd either do Jules Verne or maybe a Victor Hugo.
Ooh, nice.
Finally make, not Time Machine, what's the one with the morgue? The underground dwellers.
No, that's the Time Machine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Morlocks and the...
Yeah, Morlocks and the...
And the Enoch. It's like Enoch or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Morlock and Enoch. Yeah, let's go with that one, Time Machine.
Okay.
Not the Guy Pearce version. I'd make something more true to...
The book?
The book, and true to my sensibility of it being like a 1950s
yeah
type
yeah
you know really not kitschy
right
not what's the other word like what
camp.
Yeah not campy camp. Not kitschy, just really minimal
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Have you ever, you've seen the movie Gremlins, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that the Time Machine nod in the background of Gremlins?
Probably not.
Okay, so Hoyt Axton, the
country singer,
Peltzer Familius.
Uh-huh.
So the father of the Peltzer family is at a convention, and you've got Robbie the Robot shows up. Everybody remembers seeing mm-hmm. Robbie the Robot show up. He's like, 2 quarts, blah blah blah, and like something about oil. I don't know. Well, in the background, there's a time machine.
Ah.
In the next shot, it's gone. Fucking awesome. Fantastic. Little Joe Dante, good one. Good fucking one. Very well done.
Patrick Bowden writes, if you could name your own brand of alcohol drink, what would it be called?
See, this is a tough one, because yours is
Scotty Scotch.
Scotsy Scotch.
Yep.
Scots. Oh,
Scotsy Scotch.
Yeah. For me, I don't. Andoretto?
Ooh.
Because I like amaretto. I can't drink it anymore, but I like amaretto. Oh, it is so full of sugar, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Liqueurs are out. They are full of sugar.
Do you think brown sugar bourbon?
Scotty brown sugar bourbon.
Would be out?
Probably. Well, it depends on how... So you'd have to check.
Right.
Because
if it's distilled from brown sugar...
Then you're fine.
Then you're fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would be like Fireball where they add...
Oh, God. Fireball is just candy.
Yeah.
Like gross candy, but it's fucking so sugary.
I did and I didn't cheat. It was on accident. At the Pearl Jam concert before, I went and I got... Tom wanted a Fireball and I wanted Jameson. And I got a double or something. And Tom said, what? Oh, I don't get a double? And or something to that effect. So I ended up taking some of the Jameson and dumping it in the Fireball. And he's like, no, you can't do that. And then he took the thing. I'm like, okay, fine. And I had a drink. And the minute it touched my lips, I was like,
I regret
everything. What the fuck am I doing? I can't have this. And everyone was just, because there was like three or four people, and they're all like, it's okay. It's not that bad. It was diluted with other stuff. It's probably, you're probably okay. I'm just like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, no shit.
So it's just sometimes you just don't think about it, and it's...
Yeah. The other one, of course, would be Andy Vodkarowski.
Oh, yes.
Because I do like vodkas.
Yeah.
So.
Like a... Trying to figure out how to get a fruit flavored in there. But yeah, I think if you just, that was your main label.
Andy Vodka Raspberry. Vodka Raspberry. Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to work.
No, I think it'd just be Andy Vodkarowski.
Yeah.
Raspberry.
Raspberry. Yeah, exactly. Rob McLennan writes, is there a nearby place somewhere in the state that you would like to build a house? The San Juans. Done. The San Juans is it. 100%. In the islands. How about you?
I think right here in this neighborhood.
It's a good neighborhood. If I got to just pick a place to have a house, though, fucking A, on an island. Done.
Yeah.
Provided the internet was good enough.
Yeah, and that you're retired. Or can work from home.
Or can work from home, which I can currently, pretty
right.
much. So,
For me, either here or then down. I mean, if we're talking about money is no odd wherever I want, I want to be across the water from where Bill Gates and those other people are. I don't want to be in Medina.
Oh, okay.
I want to be on this side of the water.
Right.
Looking over there so that it's not in that stupid neighborhood.
Right.
But there's a whole bunch along Lakeview Drive that are just beautiful. And it's like there's Lakeview Drive, which very few people know about. And there are, it will go from my area, in fact, right outside of Seward Park, almost all the way up to UW with like maybe two stop signs.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, and yeah, there's a lot. Like, if money was no object, we'd be building a bunch of houses.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would love to have one on Alki. That would be amazing.
Yes.
You know, I agree with you too. The Lakeview Drive one would be fan fucking tastic.
Because there's hardly any traffic, and you've got that. You could have a big yard, the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. A seldom traveled major throughway to get places.
Right.
And then lake.
Right. One of the, another good one would be like one of the, so Mercer's a really big island, but most of the major constructions happened off of 90, but there are still pockets of Mercer that are nice and forested and stuff. That would be cool.
Ones that face Renton.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Vashon would be really cool.
Yeah.
But again, I would love to have one. Like, not even Orcas, like one of the small islands off of Orcas where I had to have my own
Trump Island?
Ugh. Yeah, kind of. I'd rename it. But yeah, one of the small islands off of Orcus that, you know, where I have to have my own boat to get to Orcus, to get to the ferry, to get to the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yes. Yes. Again, with good internet.
Provided. Which
ain't going to happen. Right now.
No.
No, no. 5G might do it, though. The whole concept of 5G is looking pretty mm-hmm. fucking amazing. It's pretty. It's like half of gigabit, but it's wireless. Fucking A. Done.
That's pretty okay.
Yeah, no shit. Well, that about wraps it up, actually.
Yeah.
Which is good, because our last two have gone a little long, and I think people are probably getting sick of hearing us.
Probably.
We do have some stuff coming up that we're pretty excited about. We got a lot of games coming up that are releasing that I'm going to make Scott play. Soul Calibur 6 is a good example of one.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, we have Divinity coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That should be... I don't know if we'll have a chance to play it next week, but we're getting it next week, so hopefully soon after that. Obviously, we have the Snake River Fandom Con, so yep. If you're in the Idaho, Utah,
I guess Wyoming
area, yeah, come on over.
Yeah.
We'll be...
I think we have absolutely no listeners in that demographic.
I don't think we do either. But hey, you know, you never know. Come and meet us. Come and meet Warky.
Be crazy like us and just drive to Pocatello.
Pocatello. Or Pocolito.
Pocolito.
Yeah. Pocatello's, well, it sucks. But we're going to make fun of, Pocatello's got a sort of sister city called Chubbuck. So we're going to make fun of that.
Okay.
Because Chubbuck. It's going to be fun. So we've got that coming up at the end of September. I don't think we have any other major cons planned until RadCon the following year. In spring.
Which I think
mm-hmm.
at present
mm-hmm.
I can make.
Yay!
Because I think we will have just closed Red.
Right, right. But of course you're going to perform it at RadCon, right? RedCon?
I could.
Don't. I mean, if you want to, go ahead. I don't think
I'll still be memorized.
That's true. So, yeah, and then, like I said, we've always got a couple of irons in the fire for some stuff that hopefully we'll be able to share sooner than later. I don't know. We'll find out. Production's slowing down a little bit on account of financials, and also just the world is slowing down a little bit.
We got to get a camera mount for the car.
Oh, for that thing, yeah, we do. That's
we need to get that thing
filmed.
By the way, two hazmat suits now.
Oh, nice. Unrelated to filming, of course.
Or we could use them for filming.
Oh. Well, okay. Are they hazmat suits or bunny suits? Ooh, nice. Yeah, bunny suits, okay. That was one of my all-time favorite... You know me and Edgar Wright. I love Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I love Edgar Wright. There's that scene at the beginning of Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Where Nicholas Angel goes to a crime scene and mm-hmm. is talking to his girlfriend, who is wearing a bunny suit, but you can still tell that it's... Anyways, and then there's the whole... You guys realize this was broken from the outside, right? What? Oh, so anyway, great, great show. But that bunny suit, it looks just like that. So get those, get a couple of those big blue canister rebreathers.
Mm-hmm.
We could do some fun stuff.
Yeah.
Cook some meth.
Yeah.
It'll be good. But yeah, do you have any other closing statements?
I'd like to hear closing statements from the prosecutor, please.
A huge thanks to our Patreon subscribers, Hawk Robinson,
James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Stuart Hume,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Gordon D. Duke,
Dennis Nickel,
Jay Blanken,
Casey Lee,
Dougie Sharp,
Seth M. Davis,
Todd McKimmy,
Lotta Jer,
Tom Brophy,
Laura Adams,
James Herbert,
Bo Pritchard,
Tim Martin,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
and Rival Guy. And I just remembered I was going to relay a story from Casey Lee, but I forgot to. So rather than doing it at the end, let's save it for next week.
But you got to remember.
I'll try. I'm kind of stupid.